Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Speakers are asked to refrain from abusive or profane remarks, disruptive outbursts.
See, that's the problem. Your forked tongue gets you in trouble. Just like,
no, it does not.
If you don't know who I am, close your mouth. Something's going to fly in your mouth.
You're going to have to be quiet when I'm talking. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do the insubordination.
This is not transparent, open government.
I have never said you were psychotic, though you may be.
I don't know that I care for the narrative.
Well, Stephen, I certainly didn't mean to hurt your feelings or anybody else's, or to imply that any one of us is not doing what...
I'm not a maiden who needs to be saved from my feelings.
Wonderful, thank you.
Love can touch us one time and last for a lifetime.
I know that there's a lot of effort and emotion has gone into to her drafting this succession plan, and in the same way that several meetings ago I expressed my support for Wes and with an item related to personnel, and the biggest reason is my trust for him. The biggest reason that I support A, B, and C is going to be not just my interactions with Will through the county attorney's office, but also through the shade meetings. That's a component of it, but really it's more about about the relationship and trusting that all the blood, sweat, and tears that has gone into this item being prepared by Allison to come to the board. So that's so I'm going to support A, B, and C.
So this is going back about a week. This is the Escambia County Commission meeting where they were talking about who or what to do to take on the transition from Allison Rogers as the county attorney. Stephen Barry, they're saying, I support Allison. She's put together this plan to make Will Nelson, the replacement. it's important that we have trust and confidence in our people, just like trusting West with the library decision. So that's one in favor of the smooth transition, as opposed to, an internal candidate, as opposed to going out for a nationwide search. And this has been, or even a region search, whatever, posting the job and saying, here's what we're looking for, come and help us. This is one of those issues that comes up again and again and again in our local conversation, whether it's looking for a police chief or looking for a city administrator or looking for a county administrator or a superintendent, or even, like a ECUA has just gone through a transition, right? And, you got Bruce Woody has retired on Friday. Congratulations to Bruce after a long career, 6 here and 42 years total. And now what? Do you take the next person in line or do you go find somebody, anybody, anywhere? We have this conversation a lot. It almost to the point where I wonder, and I rarely suggest this because I think the state is all too eager to take such decisions into its own purview all the time to, take away local authority. I almost wonder if it shouldn't be a state law to say, have a nationwide search for every job opening above blank grade or something. Not because that's the better decision, but because we have this wrangle every time. And certainly if you have, you probably couldn't make a law that said you must hire internally, because maybe the internal candidates are not particularly strong, right? You really can't mandate that you don't post for a job. But you could mandate that you do post for a job, right? You see what I'm explaining is, if you were going to have a law that made it for the whole state that when you have these high profile positions, you must hire externally, you must look around. Now, I'm not saying we should have such a law. I'm just saying it makes me think about it, and it makes me wonder whether. And I understand every situation is different. You know, do you have a deputy chief who's been in that role? Like, for thinking of PPD, okay? You have a deputy chief. How long have they been in that role? You know, we had this issue with Kevin Christman. The issue kind of came up with Eric Goss. You know, and we went outside for a nationwide search for Eric Randall. Then we went outside for a nationwide search for, you know, current chief Eric Winstrom. It just seems like it comes up all the time. It's like we never quite know what we're committed to. Are we committed to hiring the internal person we know, who knows the area, who's built relationships, who we've trained and we've had experience working with them? Or are we committed to the idea of finding the very best person, even if we might not know them and that might not be inside the organization? I don't know. I don't know that we should have a state law. Just, it's weird to me that we are always having this argument. And I can see it both ways. I can see it both ways, which is part of why we keep having this argument. It just feels like the kind of thing that, I don't know, just flip a coin. We'll do it this way every time. It's instead of always having this fight.
And I appreciate Commissioner Beard. We probably think alike on most items. I've had discussion, and I like Will. I like Kristen. I have a great amount of respect for
Kristen Huell,
Madam Counselor, for Allison.
The other internal candidate.
Inside and outside the office. I'm not going to be able to support the succession plan as presented. Candidly, I think we do only have two people, just as I've just suggested that, you know, we go out for the county administrator when he decides to go out and get the very best candidate, whether it's internal or whether it's external.
And, you know, that makes sense, too. Stephen Berry and Lumen May here having a disagreement, which is pretty rare. One's a Democrat, you know, black liberal Democrat. One's a white, theoretically conservative Republican, and yet they almost always vote in sync with each other because they came on the board together. They're good friends, and you would think they wouldn't, but they actually do, except every once in a while they see it differently.
We think we have, you know, capable people who currently work in the attorney's office, and for me, I would want to begin a search, and everybody that wants to apply would be able to apply for that position.
So that's one and one for search versus internal.
I spend a lot of time with both Kristen and Will. I like them both. It's not a personality thing for me because I get along well with both the people in the, well, actually everyone in legal. I like everybody. But, and Allison, you and I'd sit down and, you know, and talked in depth, and I appreciate your opinion. But I do agree with Commissioner May on this. It's a competitive job. It's one of the only two positions we hire. I think both of you are highly qualified. You have different skill sets. I think you both should apply. But I don't have a problem with the competitive process. I think it's healthy. I think it would help restore the public trust. We've had a couple hurdles recently, and I think that it'd be good for the board to do an open solicitation. So I'm going to support D. And Commissioner Berry, I understand your statement too. I'm on the other side of the fence on this one.
All right, that's one for that's one for internal, the succession plan put together by Allison Rogers. Two for a nationwide search. So Mike Kohler, another conservative white Republican, if that kind of tracking all this, District 2, siding with Lumen May on this, and Stephen Berry. And Stephen Berry says, oh man, y'all don't have any idea what you're asking for if you do it the way you're talking about it, because we're going to get lobbied by everybody.
Certainly. I've lost some votes over the years. I understand that this public search, I mean, you're still going to be the one making a decision, but you're going to be making a decision after public interviews, and then you're going to have a lot of folks weighing in. You talk about being politicked. The hiring of an attorney and administrator, you want to see politicking by interested third parties that are vested in certain folks' candidacy, and that is what you will see. And many, they're only concerned about the good of the community, but they will lobby to an extent.
This is sarcasm, right? Because everybody will think that their candidate is the right one to accomplish their objectives, not that their candidate is the one who is necessarily the best. And, yeah, they're only interested in the good of the county. That's all they have in mind, you know. And so, I mean, I agree with Stephen about this.
To an extent that no one except for Commissioner May and I have seen on this board. So that's...
I have not seen this kind of ugly drama before.
I'll follow the will of the board, but just... I, I don't think that you understand exactly what you're getting into with public interviews. And I mean, that's where the job interview is going to be. It's going to be in these chambers. You're going to be asked. It's going to be covered. You're going to get letters to the editor saying who the board should be hiring and why. And it's how we've, the board has made some mistakes over the years in those kind of endeavors.
We've made mistakes in the past doing it this way. By the way, I always find it entertaining. It's so common that I can't really blame Stephen Barrett uniquely for saying this, but I always think that it's funny and weird and bizarre when they say, I'll do whatever the board decides. Well, yeah, because you have to. Like a 3-2 vote, a 4-1 vote. I mean, you know, you lose. It doesn't matter whether you like it or not. I will go along with the majority of the board. Duh, that's you don't have the power not to. Anyway, so but it always sounds like an act of chivalry or kindness or, you know, concession. You know, okay, I'll go along with the board. Yeah, I mean, you know, you're obligated. Anyway, Steven Strohberger, District 1.
I'm in support of A, B, and C myself also, because something you said to me the last time we talked was, if you know what you already want to do, if you already got a decision made, then let's not waste time, money, staff time on a search. And that's what it would be for me. It'd be a waste of time. I already know what I
want
to do.
Yeah, I know what I want. I want Willie Nelson. I'm going to keep calling him that. And because why not? I can. It's my show. You want to call him something else? You get a show. is that the wrong attitude, John? That's too rude.
No, not
okay,
at all.
Anyway, you know, so Steve's like, look, I know who I want. I don't know why we need to go through this whole, kabuki theater, pretend charade in order to say we've done a nationwide search just to come back and decide what we already want to do. I'm good with it. So 2-2, Ashley Hoffberger, what's she going to say?
I would agree with Commissioner Strohberger. Well, you're great. And I've seen you handle very contentious shade meetings. And we're a lot to juggle. And we're really passionate. And you did it with a lot of grace. So I think that is a skill that does not come through in the interview process. And it's definitely a skill that I don't want to lose on a county level.
See, to me, and this is why I like Ashley, because she usually kind of listens to what everybody else says, and then she comes in with something fairly decisive in a fairly short period of time, you know, pithy. And she's like, look, we've worked with you in all kinds of contentious situations, and I like the way you handle this board. And that's not something you can tell by an interview. In fact, you might interview poorly, but I know from experience that you work here well. Somebody else might interview well, and then, oh, they're a catastrophe when we actually get to working with them because they don't know the situations or the people or whatever. So she says, let's internal. I'm good with it.
Well, this has nothing. I think you're highly competent.
Oh, sorry. They had the vote. Vote
confirming we had a motion for A, B, and C from Commissioner Barry.
It's a little confusing.
Commissioner Strohberger second. Commissioner Barry, Strohberger, and I voted for it. Commissioner Kohler and Commissioner May voted against it. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the end, it looked like Commissioner May had said he was going to vote for the nationwide search, and in the actual voting, he voted for the succession plan for, you know, Willie Nelson. And then in the vote, they counted, well, he actually voted against it, which is what he had said before, just, you know, I don't know which button to push. Complicated things, you know. So Mike Kohler, after this, when, if you want to take an uncharitable view, he's basically told Will Nelson, no, I don't want you. I want to go looking for a nationwide candidate. Right. By the way, it would also spare that conversation. You would never have to tell any individual person. I think, like, you know, Eric Goss, who served the department so very well, you don't have to actually say to any individual person, nah, you know, we're going to look outside. And then you put them through the process, and then you're like, nah, but we're not going to pick you. I mean, you know, you just don't have to do that necessarily.
Well, this has nothing. I think you're highly competent, and I want to congratulate you, Kristen. Sorry it didn't work out the way you wanted, but I will wholeheartedly support you in this position. Well, okay? Thank you.
Yeah, I hope, and Will's a fine attorney and even a funnier guy to hang out. I hope Kristen and Will would take I say this publicly, we can't hire for all we need. So I hope that you take in consideration Kristen's many years of service to this county. And I hope that you guys can work together, and I say that sincerely.
I mean, I know I voted to not hire either of you, but, you know, you have to make a little bit of peace, I guess, afterwards. Allison Rogers, the outgoing county attorney.
Thank you to all of you for a very challenging decision, and I obviously have a fantastic staff. It's a deep bench. There's obviously a handful, particularly a couple of very skilled senior lawyers. And I appreciate your patience with this, and thank you so much.
So that was it. But anyway, I do. I wonder, do you think, you know, should we? God, I hate to propose that Tallahassee make a law telling local government what to do. But it's one of those where we do this every time. Every single big decision we do, we, you know, have this conversation, and I don't know that it's productive particularly. And maybe what you say is, okay, this is just the nature of it. We're going to leave the power in the whatever the local board is, and every time we're going to have this hand-wringing over internal versus external. Every situation is different. You can't mandate anything. I mean, okay. I mean, that's just status quo. That's where we're at. Makes for better radio, I guess. 525 on... talking with somebody the other day. They said, you know, if we were boring in government, your show wouldn't have any material. Oh, I would find material. Trust me, there's plenty of material out there.
My goodness, he will find material.
Plus, also...
I don't know who said...
Plus, also, you're asking people to not be people. I mean, you know, the idea that all of these different, you know, boards and entities that I follow would all be, you know, genial and civil and kind and collaborative. If you've not met people, I'm Andrew McKay.
Why'd I go to the doctor? Working on the farm, my heart kept skipping a beat. I didn't think much of it, but my daughters made me get checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Did you know? Florida West Economic Development Alliance partners with local and state stakeholders to compete for companies that are considering Escambia County, the city of Pensacola, and the town of Century. These jobs, wages, and investment deliver real returns for our residents. These outcomes strengthen Escambia County's economy and protect taxpayer interests through disciplined, results-driven economic development. Learn more at FloridaWestEDA.com.
This is the story of the one. The one who keeps multiple buildings running smoothly day after day. Plumbing that flows, HVAC that hums, cleaning supplies that keep surfaces sparkling. That's why she counts on Grainger. With easy reordering online and 24/7 support, Grainger helps her keep the products she needs on hand. So shelves stay stocked and buildings stay ready. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
We're going the wrong way!
He says we're going the wrong way!
Oh, he's drunk. How would he know where we're going?
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, John.
I actually do.
When they're on the wrong side of the highway.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. 527 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, I have a, it's a story that, I don't know, it caught me sideways, and I found it entertaining. But it's about a year old, but, you know, social media sometimes shows you a thing, and if you hadn't seen it, you're like, oh, that's fascinating. So this is from about a year ago, but it's still a fairly interesting story. So you had in Great Britain, and all the best stories these days seem to come out of Great Britain or Florida, but you had in Great Britain, you had like a elderly swimming competition, I don't know, 62-year-old, person is competing in this competition and is allowed to compete as a woman, but is transgender. So born a man, identifies as a woman. 5 years ago, allowed to compete, no problem. Well, the rules changed and this person was no longer allowed to compete as a woman. They basically changed the categories to female and open, which has been kind of the way this stuff is going. You know, they're not saying you have to be a man to compete in the other, but you know, anybody can. And then it's only biological females. So this person, name is Anne Isabella Coombs, not born with that name, but that's the name this person identifies with in Reading, England, says, okay, fine. So I'm competing in the open category. I'm not allowed to compete as a woman. Yep, yep, yep. Okay. Well, I'll go topless. As a man with, let's just say, upper body elements. Which
I was just waiting, Andrew.
Which, honestly, I thought was a pretty hilarious response. I mean, I don't support the transgender things, you know, almost ever. But just as a, just put aside what you believe about the issue, clever, right? Because, well, if I'm a man, then I can wear a man's swimsuit. And if I'm not a man and I have to cover up, then I should be able to swim as a woman. You decide. Well, basically what they said is, you know, you have to, the argument that this person was making is you're outing me as transgender against my will. I mean, okay, whatever. The rules say you have to be in good moral taste. I don't think it has to be so much based on gender. I mean, I could imagine, you know, and this is where your brain has to start to go. Like, imagine somebody with an incredibly vulgar tattoo on their back. And you might say, you have to cover that up. Or imagine, I mean, in weird cases where people go through bizarre surgeries, you can imagine something that would not be normal. And you have to cover that up. Well, Hannah, you have to cover that up.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump says he's in no rush to strike a peace deal with Iran. The ceasefire remains in place, but U.S. Central Command says it targeted military sites in Iran after an American drone was shot down over international waters. And now,
Kuwait says it's intercepting incoming drone and missile fire. That comes as Iran confirmed it carried out retaliatory strikes today. And Iran's Revolutionary Guard today says the source of that is what it calls U.S. attacks on a telecommunication tower.
That's Fox's Alex Hogan reporting. A massive two-day manhunt spanning state lines is over. The man accused of killing a sheriff's deputy in Virginia, now under arrest, police say Michael Puckett, was captured last night. Cops say he gunned down 31-year-old Logan Utt and injured his partner during a welfare check last week. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31. News Radio 92.3, 75 degrees and partly cloudy right now. We'll get a full look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. Well, the 2026 Atlantic hurricane season officially begins today. Forecasters reminding Floridians that even a quieter season can bring some serious impacts. NOAA is predicting anywhere between 8 and 14 named storms this year, with 3 to 6 expected to become hurricanes, including up to 3 major hurricanes. National Hurricane Center Director Dr. Michael Brennan says it only takes one storm to make it a very memorable season.
Can't really draw the map of what the tracks are going to look like. Do know there is likely to be an El Nino coming on, and that does tend to suppress activity, but we can still get storms just about anywhere.
The season runs through November 30th, with activity typically peaking in September. Emergency managers urging residents to review evacuation plans and restock their hurricane supplies now. An Orange Beach police officer dropping off a homeless man at Pensacola's waterfront mission last week has sparked a dispute between Alabama and Escambia County officials. Waterfront Mission Director Frederick Henderson tells Channel 3 that, it just wasn't something he'd ever seen before.
That's the first time I ever seen him dropped off by law enforcement. That kind of shocked me.
Henderson says the man ultimately declined all services at Waterfront Rescue Mission and stayed on the street. Orange Beach police say the man asked to be brought to Pensacola, but Escambia County Sheriff's body camera footage told a different story. A meeting between Orange Beach and Escambia County administrators is set for next week to discuss the issue. A former Pensacola police officer now faces 3 charges of having sex without disclosing his HIV-positive status to partners. 32-year-old Pierce Cotton was arrested on Friday on 2 new counts, following an initial arrest in March on 1 count. Cotton was released on $30,000 bond. According to arrest records, Cotton tested positive for HIV in July of last year. Pensacola police say Cotton is no longer employed by the department following an internal affairs investigation. A 65-year-old man's in critical condition after a high-speed motorcycle crash on the 3-mile bridge Saturday. Dash camera footage showed the rider traveling at a high rate of speed before slamming into a concrete barrier and being thrown into the pedestrian walkway. Bystanders stopped to help, one applying a tourniquet while another used fire extinguishers to put out the burning bike. PPD says speed on the bridge has been a growing problem, and the department is now running joint patrols with Gulf Breeze to crack down. The rider was taken to Ascension Sacred Heart. It's 534 News Radio, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast this morning.
We are going to be seeing a nice warm day today. Temperatures warming up near 89 degrees. 80% chance of some showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. For Tuesday, 60% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 71. Heading into Wednesday, nice sunny weather with a high near 83 degrees. And Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Partly cloudy and 75 degrees. Your next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. NVIDIA is now pushing into PCs with a new processor called N1X on a new RTX Spark Superchip. The ARM-based chip will debut on laptop models from Microsoft, Dell, Lenovo, and more. CEO Jensen Huang also announced the new Vera CPU is in full production, with early adoption by OpenAI, Anthropic, and SpaceX. AI company Runway told CNBC that it is planning a major expansion in London. Runway is building AI systems that can learn from a wider range of inputs compared to large language models. An experimental lung cancer drug from Akeso and Summit Therapeutics reduced the risk of death by 34% in a closely watched late-stage trial. When the medication is combined with chemotherapy, the drug kept people with lung cancer alive for a median of 4 months longer than the standard combination of immunotherapy and chemotherapy. The phase three trial was conducted in China, and a global phase three study is ongoing. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
Let me introduce you to Social Mirror. This is when we take the best content from your social media platform and deliver it to the phones, tablets, and computers of your target audience, where they live or wherever they go on the internet. You can add a call to action that sends people to your website or opens up their phone app with your phone number on it or gives them directions to find you. All of this comes with reporting to show how many people saw the ad and reacted to it.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
At any time.
Again, we are dealing with a tornado warning right now. This is going to be in Santa Rosa County.
At any time.
And Steve, you're looking at the radar. What are you seeing right now?
What you need to know.
Well, on the News Radio ThreatNet radar, the showers are covering the entire north part of Escambia County, moving into the downtown area.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
What you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
Living together, mass hysteria.
This is crazy.
Oh no, we're doomed.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine.
Here
is today's sign of the apocalypse.
All right, I will warn you in advance. This one's a sort of an R-rated one, but so if you got, I mean, if you're driving, if your kids are in the car this early, it's kind of weird, right? I mean,
yeah, people, no school. I mean,
yes, yeah, school's out, so we should be mostly safe, okay? But mostly. You know, I just always, I always think about like if my wife was driving around with our kids in the car in the minivan, you know, taking them to middle school or whatever. You know, would she want a warning? Because, I mean, it's, you know, it's a news show. It's kind of, you know, not adult in the lurid sense, but it's for adults. But it's also for kids, and I just want to make sure you feel welcome. So if you got kids in the car, or maybe you're listening on your home speaker, the podcast later on, and, you know, just this may not be the story for them. It's not that bad, but it's not great either. You ready? Okay. There's an AI company. I don't think I need to tell you the name of the company. The AI company is looking for people that are willing to test out its AI voice girlfriend erotica sexy stuff products. They're looking for men to test these products. And they're looking for men who are willing to, you know.
Go ahead. I'm waiting.
Fly solo, let's say, in the use of their products. I mean,
fly solo.
You know, the products are designed to produce a certain biochemical reaction in you.
Right.
And for many users, they use them to completion. So they want to pay people to touch themselves $2,000 a month.
I'm gone. It's like, what?
Johnson,
more money than I make.
Where do I sign up? Is there a minimum amount?
What was
Is there
the
maximum
name?
Amount?
What was the name?
Talk about parameters. So the head of brand for the company, Julie Levin, not kidding. I mean, why wouldn't you have? Anyway, says they've already received 100,000 applications.
Oh, I bet. Oh, I bet.
And now you might think, Andrew, even you, why would you stoop? No, it's not just funny. Okay, it's not just like one person posted, time to go pro, you know.
I get paid for this?
Yeah. Ready to contribute extensive data repeatedly for science, you know, like somebody says, this is my calling. The cover letters are hilarious. I've been training for this my whole life.
Oh my
God. My therapist did say I needed a hobby, and then one said, I applied on behalf of my husband.
Oh.
So, I mean, you know, look, I've always said this, Christians are way too uptight about sex. It doesn't mean we don't have strong views, you know, about what God wants. But I mean, God made sex. He knows it's funny. I mean, if you can't laugh about sex stuff, you know, what do you laugh about? Anyway, so what they're saying is the AI gig, it's an AI company, you know, is going to involve chosen candidates delivering weekly reports after completing daily audio guided sessions. Listen to the voice tell you what to do. I guess. I don't know, okay? Some AI woman is going to talk dirty to you or something is, I guess, the theme here. And then they're supposed to think about what they do. And then afterwards, you know, after action report, so to speak, think about how it makes them feel. And
after action report.
Is their life better? Or not. Okay? So that's the study. Now here's, so to me, the fact that this is happening is a sign of the apocalypse. I mean, no doubt. You can't even argue. But then I got to thinking about what they're doing. And what they're really asking is for customer feedback, right? And seeing how they're, and again, I'm inferring from what little I have read. This is not one I'm thrilled about having in my Google search. I'm inferring from what I've read that the idea is we produce an audio product that is designed to make you happy, or something, and we want to know if it's working. And we want to know if afterwards you feel fulfilled. Because theoretically, some people might feel, depending on how we craft the product, right? We might make a product that makes you feel shameful and dirty, might make you feel happy and satisfied, might make you feel like all your life choices have been in the wrong direction, might make you feel eager to go out and really meet a real person and find whatever that brings. Or, I mean, there's all kinds of outcomes. And what they're trying to figure out is, does our erotic companionship product, AI product, really produce happiness for you, the, you know, the happy ending user, so to speak? And then...
The end
come
user.
On.
Come on.
Come on. I mean, come on. You can't not make jokes. So, end. Weirdly, David is dying. You can't get any real work done right now, can you? You can't. You can't even say anything. All right, fair enough. Turn his mic back off. He can't even speak. There's an old, I think it's a Ray Bradbury, the happiness drug. It's an old, you know, there's long been this theory about what happens when the, or this, you know, question, what happens when the machines just make people happy and all they do is keep, you know, pressing the button on the machine, like the monkey pressing the cocaine dispenser, because that's how it works. Well, gosh, you know, social media. So, but what if in some theoretical world, it really does make people happy? And all of these men, who's it? Was it John Mayer? Was he the one who said, I'd rather have porn than a real woman? Because I think it was, you know, because, you know, I may be wrong about the artist, but I'm pretty sure that was the one stuck in my head. Because, you know, it's on my timetable. It's whenever I want it. She never says no. She never is mean to me. I mean, it's the basic accurate analysis of why people are drawn to porn. Because it gives you everything you want, none of the costs, none of the difficulty, none of the challenges. And, you know, it's completely for your benefit. It's 100% selfish, right? That's why it's so interesting. Anyway, what if it really worked? You know, what if it really produced, like, happy humans? And you could market it as that. These other products will leave you feeling bad. Ours fulfills you. And what if it were true? I mean, I would hope, as a Christian who believes in, you know, God's plan for companionship, and it's not good for a man to be alone, even in that way, that, you know, maybe it's better, you know, for people to be married. But what if, theoretically, and then you could market it as that? Seems like a completely weirdly, is that even a good use of AI? I don't know. So that's my story. I'm just sticking with it. John, you want to weigh in on any of this at all?
No.
Did you already put in your application?
Yeah, on this computer.
I already put in the application 3 times.
I know. I hit send. I filled one out for you too, brother.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's Monday. Happy Monday. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Making a few small changes to how you use energy in your home can make a big difference. Like setting your AC, every degree you raise it can save you up to 5% on cooling costs. With the FPL Energy Manager, you can easily monitor how much energy you're using, see which appliances use the most, and how it affects your bill. Keep more money in your pocket by making your home more energy efficient. Learn more at fpl.com/ways to save.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1, to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it.
The midterm elections.
Who will win? Who will not?
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3.
Wayne, what do you do if every time you see this one incredible woman, you think you're gonna hurl?
I say hurl. If you blow chunks and she comes back, she's yours. If you spew and she bolts, it was never meant to be.
It's 5 o'clock in the morning on a Monday.
5:50 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, have you been following the this whole Freedom 250 implosion? So, you know, the Freedom 250 was supposed to be the alternative to the America 250, the Trump, because Trump thought that, you know, I should do this myself instead of having, you know, like a bipartisan committee of people put together entertainers for a thing that's just to celebrate the birthday of the country and, you know, not raise questions about whether a living person should be on a $250 bill that we've all been begging to have. I mean, how many times have you been out paying for something and just wishing you had a $250 bill instead of hundreds?
I mean, that's all the time.
All the time. I mean, so many times.
They don't even take hundreds.
Yeah, goodness. So then, you know, a whole bunch of people have dropped out. We talked about this a little bit on Friday. You know, Young MC, Morris Day and the Time, the Commodores, Martin McBride, Brett Michaels. You know, all these people have dropped out now. So if Trump invites you to the party and then you decide not to go, like you say you're going to go and then you decide not to go, what's Trump going to do? Well, he's going to attack you for being, you know, a bad artist and no good and third rate and highly paid third rate artists.
America.
Anybody who says no to him is obviously a no-talent loser because that's his world, right? You know, megalomania has a shape, and there you go. that's how he decides whether you're a good person or not. If you like him, you're good, and if you're, you know, don't like him, then there's something defective in you, and you weren't talented in the first place, and I don't know why we made the mistake of inviting you. I mean, okay, right, that's how Trump responds to things. So now the latest development on Saturday was so many people had dropped out of this that he said, fine, we just won't have music, and instead, we'll do me. I'm a big draw. I'm the best entertainment in the universe. They're overpriced and boring. I'll perform. I'll just do a rally, because obviously everybody knows that I am the greatest draw of anything that ever has been. We should have a giant Make America Great Again rally for $250 instead of having overpriced singers who nobody wants to hear, whose music is boring. This is him on Trump Social, and yet who do nothing but complain. So I'm ordering my representatives to look at the feasibility of doing an America's Back rally on Wednesday. Same bat time, same bat location. He didn't put bat, he just said same time, same location. Only great patriots invited. And I will be it. Number one attraction anywhere in the world. I get much larger audiences than Elvis did in his prime.
Wow.
There is a part of you that still wants to believe that even he knows that's outrageous. Oh, sure, he knows that's outrageous. Of course he knows that's outrageous. And there is also a part of you that's like, but does he believe that?
Well, you know, Andrew, at the time of Elvis, there were only 200 million people in the United States in the population. Right now we have 330 million people. And so, you know, as the numbers had...
Stop. So now, the latest is apparently yesterday, he's just cancel it. Cancel it. Just not having it. So it went from having the nonpartisan one, the America 250, to then having the America 250 and also the Freedom 250, easy to get confused. And then the Freedom 250 had a bunch of people coming. And then they all found out that this is like the Trump flavor version. And so they all... many of them decided to bail. I mean, not Vanilla Ice. Like, I need the money. So, and half a milli Vanilli, theoretically. And half of Clavelis and Cole, CNC Music Factory. Anyway, and then they all started to bail, and he's like, fine, I don't need y'all. I'll talk myself for 3 hours. You know he can. And then he decided, after all, no, just cancel it. Too much trouble. Moving on. 437. What can you say? 437, 1620. What else do we have going on? Oh, this is, again, just, you know, stories that catch my attention that are kind of unusual or interesting or however you prefer to describe it. This one, I mean, it concerns me, concerns you. I mean, concerns in two different ways. It's about things that matter to us, but it's also, you know, about things that, you know, are significant. The question of home ownership, which right now with, I mean, they're not high interest rates. Does anybody remember the 80s? You know, when interest rates were what, like 24%, 25%? You remember? I mean, most of us were not really buying homes at that time. But, you know, if you're old enough, there was a time when, you know, like the interest rate on credit cards was just the interest rate. You know, it was crazy. Anyway, it all came back down eventually. You know, Reagan did a lot of good things. But the price of homes and the interest rate, which is not that high, and the insurance rate, which is very high right now. And a lot of people aren't buying homes, right? You know, because they cannot afford it or it's too much of a struggle. So the question is now whether your kids, when they get to be old enough, if they maybe are they going to be able to own a home? And one of the studies that has come out now seems to indicate that one of the key distinguishers, this is the U.S. Census Bureau and Carnegie Mellon University, analyzed tax records for 3.5 million families. And what they've figured out is that kids born between 79 and 86, so the youngest Gen Xers and young millennials, okay, so this is like, you know, 30 to 40 year olds, okay, whether they were able to buy a home, 34 to 42, the key finding of whether they're able to get a home is whether their parents had a home. It's not their own income that matters so much. It's whether their parents had enough, I mean, not necessarily wealth if you owe as much as it's worth, but whether parents had a home. Max Risch, one of the paper's co-authors, he's an economist at Carnegie Mellon, he says, even as a CBS News, even if children grow up to earn about the same amount as adults, those with wealthier parents have higher home ownership rates and more valuable homes when they do own homes. The opportunity to achieve the American dream is more dependent on how wealthy your parents are than we might like. Now, what I wanted to know immediately, because I'm always asking questions, is, well, is that because the parents have wealth and can, you know, co-sign for a loan or be there as a backstop or something like that? Is it because of the fact that they have wealth, or is it because of, like, the things they teach their kids that are an outgrowth of their own mindset, which produces wealth? You know, is it the wealth exactly, or is it the underlying cause of the wealth? And you pass on those things through, you know, raising your children. Or, and there's a third possibility, it's not so much like the psychology and skills of the parents, but more it's a matter of the expectation. If your parents own a home, you grow up in a home that's owned, and you, that's what you think of as normal, and so that's what you aim at. Kind of like if you grow up in a family that's intact and not divorced, you tend to think of that as normal. You don't question, you know, is it education imparted? Is it psychological expectation imparted, or is it just the fact that they have money? Well, the great thing about this study is they didn't ask. What's wrong with you people? You're going to do half a study. The researchers didn't examine why children of homeowners are more likely to become property owners themselves. And I literally wrote in my notes, in all caps, why not? 3 question marks. Like, it left us hanging. The wealth gap between homeowners and renters also is sizable. This is part of the corollary here, is if you rent versus if you own. John.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a question. It's Monday morning. You ready for a quiz?
Nope.
According to their study, so this would be homeowners 34 to 42 years old, average median net worth in 2022. Take a guess.
34,000.
A little higher.
Oh, 40?
Times 10.
400?
That's it. $396,000. The average net worth of homeowners, I don't know if it's, they don't say specifically it's the kids. Let's say all homeowners, okay? But they say 396,000. average net worth of somebody who rents? Take a guess.
$34,000. Then how are they affording rent?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, a lot of people are very much a month to month, right? They they survive month to month. One refrigerator goes out and they're in trouble, or really badly in trouble. That is an amazing number.
Wow.
That just owning a home, again, causality is always a question, right? But, and my wife's like, well, you know, a lot of the homeowners are more likely to be older. If they are older, they're likely to be homeowners. Older people are more likely to have wealth. I factor all that in. That's fair. But man, the average net worth of a renter is $10,000 and the average net worth of a homeowner is $400,000. That is an amazing number. Now, does that mean that you can go buy a home and become wealthy? Not necessarily. You know, it's not necessarily causal, but man, talk about the value of having parents with wealth who teach you and also buying a home, the impact it has.